We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. In order to do that, we must make sure that we're filled by the Holy Spirit. So we'll have a few moments of silent prayer that afford us the opportunity to name privately to God any unconfessed sins that ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for all the things that you do for us, even the things that we're not aware of. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to focus our attention upon you and your mighty word. We pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this morning, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started on our new series, as you see, the Star Series, God's Message in the Stars, I want to take the opportunity to show you how to get on the live streaming. We just started having the live streaming. I'm online right now, and this is our website. Our website, if you don't know what it is www.CountryBibleChurch, all small letters and no spaces, .us. Only now you don't have to put the www. When you put something in your search engine, you can just put whatever the name of it is minus the www, and it will work just as well. So you can just put in your search engine in the command box up here. Let's see, www.CountryBibleChurch.us, and it will bring up our website, and this is the home page. And the home page that the part we're going to focus on this morning is this part right here. For some reason, it's not fitting over to the side on the way that my home page is laid out. Normally, it'll be in this area right here. But you see right here, it says live streaming, and it says click, and this is the hyperlink that when you take your cursor and you click on that, then you're going to go to the BBN network. That's the Retail Broadcasting Network. And we're going to do that. I'm going to show you what happens when you click there. These are the times that you can log on to where you can catch it live. This morning at 10:50 it will begin, and it's about 10:45 now, so in 5 minutes people will be logging on. And they will have clicked this button and gone through what it says here. It says, fill in the name, a number of listeners, and click join here. So we have Sunday services this morning. There's a Monday talk show. Dr. Jim is interviewing me on Mondays from 9 to 10 about the book that I'm writing that's called Tolerating Tyranny. And he interviews me from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So tomorrow morning at 9, if you want to hear that interview, you would just click, go to our website and click on that button right there. Also, on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock is when we have our midweek Bible classes. And you can, again, that link is good for all of them. Makes it simple. Also, for the archived interviews that I've already done are up here on the right-hand side, right here. So if you want any, and you can do this at any time, you can just go to the archives, Tolerating Tyranny interview archives, and if I click on that, there they are. These are the ones that I've been, and you can listen to it or you can download it, and these are hyperlinked. You just click that and it will come up and you can start listening to it. Also, I want to point out something about the live streaming, though. When you click on the live stream button and it takes you to it, you have to be there when I'm teaching it, because we have to, Vidal back there has to connect to the network when we are live in order to get it. Now, if you don't get to see the live streaming and you want to get it after it has already been done, then you can. There's two ways to do it. It will be archived. The lesson will be archived on our website as well, and it will be under the Star series. See right here? You click that, and you can get either the audio or the notes or both there. Or you can go to Dr. Jim's, and he has it archived as well on his website. But here's the thing. You won't have the video. The only thing that you get when you go to the archives after it has been live streamed is the audio and no video. So if you want to see the video, if you want to see the overhead projector, and then you need to just set your calendar, set your date or whatever, and log on at that time. So let's see what happens when I click on. Here we are. We're going to scroll down, and I'm going to click on this live button, and let's see if I'm going to be embarrassed or if it's going to work. Okay, this is what you're going to be looking at. George, can you turn the lights off here? This is what comes up, and it takes it a minute, and then you have to scroll down. Here's the scroll bar, so we scroll down, and right here, you say first and last name of who's listening, and you would just click in that and put your name, Mikey. M-L-K-E. That's what happens when I type fast. I'll just put Mike in there. How many is listening? Now, if we were all going to listen to here, I don't know, it would be over 100 here. But you would just put one or two or however many is listening. I'll just put one. And then you click Submit. See the Submit button right here? So you scroll down, put your name, how many is listening, and click Submit. And it's going to go through a little... It's going to change the screen here. See, now, what it did, you see the submit gone, and it says, join in here. And so if I click on that, I don't know, will I hear Dr. Jim teaching? Dr. Jim is on right now. No, he probably is off now because he went off at 10:45. But if I click that, I think we'll just get probably nothing because nobody is, I'll click join here. It comes up, and this is what it looked like, and it will be live streaming in a minute or two. In a minute or two, it's going to be live streaming us. Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Vidal, and turn, click it on. This is going to be strange if this comes on, and you'll be seeing it in live, and you'll see it up here, too, if it works correctly. Do y'all have any questions? Do you understand how to do it? I don't know if I have to click this. I click this button here. Okay. There we are. Yes, uh-huh. Okay, so you see how it's done. All right. I'm getting out of here. Here's some of my notes here. These are what your notes that, by the way, you can get the notes. You can send a request to my website. I mean, excuse me, my email address, which is Mike, M-I-K-E, 44, G-V. That stands for Green Vine. That's the thriving metropolis of 50 people close to my house. It's mike44gv@gmail.com. If you want to do that, then we'll send you the updated notes for the Star Series, for during the week where I'm teaching Colossians. You can get that as well, and we'll send those to you. So, okay. So I want to welcome everyone here and everyone that is on live streaming. This is really our first big test to see if everything is going to go well. God's message in the stars. I don't know if you can see this very well, but it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And that is from Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. And if you hang in there till the end of this star series, then I can assure you that this sentence will mean more to you then than it does now. The heavens declare the glory of God. Okay, the first thing I want to do is tell you what this star series is not about. It's not about astrology. And this is what some people fear when they hear, "Oh, star series. What is he, an astrologer? Is he teaching astrology over there?" Absolutely not. Astrology is the study of the sun, moon, and planets and stars in alignment to predict the future by analyzing the movement of these heavenly bodies. Some believe that they even influence the course of human events. I know there are people who will not leave their house until either on the internet or on the news, in the newspaper, that they see what their horoscope is. And I guess if it says that it's going to be a bad day, maybe they don't even leave. I don't know. But what does the Bible have to say about this? Is this something that the Bible encourages, or is it something that it condemns? Well, you can go in your Bibles. I'm going to give you the verses up here as well. But you can go in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 47, verse 11 through 13. Now, the Bible does not have the word astrology in it, but it does have the word astrologers. Astrologers are used several times. Here, the prophet Isaiah was taunting the Babylonians to go to their powerful astrologers, the stargazers and monthly prognosticators, for deliverance from God's wrath. In other words, what you see in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 11, is a taunt. Verse 11 says, "But the evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away, and disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling." Can you see the taunt, the tone? Verse 13. "You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what is to come upon you." So this is, it reminds me of Elijah. These are mighty prophets of God. And when the showdown at Mount Carmel was going to take place of who is really God, is it Baal or is it the true God? And they had to sacrifice on an altar. And for hours and hours, they were trying to call down fire upon their sacrifice from Baal in order to show that Baal was truly God. And what was Elijah doing that whole time that they were doing that? And oh, they were in a frenzy. They were dancing around. They even were cutting themselves and screaming, and it was just a sight. What was Elijah doing that time? Taunting them. "You need to shout louder. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he went to the restroom." And he would just go on and on. And so this is essentially what Isaiah is doing here. The word astrologer is found 8 times in the book of Daniel. And every time it's associated with magicians and sorcerers and soothsayers. Astrology is a satanic counterfeit to God's true message in the stars. to biblical writers, going to the stars for guidance was the same as idolatry. And then we have Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. When you look up to the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, the whole heavenly creation, you must not be seduced to worship and serve them, for the Lord your God has assigned them to all the people of the earth. Now that last phrase I'm not going to cover now, but doesn't that kind of tweak your curiosity a little bit? What did he mean by that? Well, we need more information before I can explain that to you. But here we see again that the Bible condemns going to astrologers, soothsayers, and the like. All this, you can't see all of this, can you? No? Let's see. Just a moment. Okay, what the bottom says is any Israelite who served or worshipped the sun, moon, or stars was condemned to death by the Mosaic law. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 through 4. You see, what Satan wants us to do, what he encourages us to do, is to go to the stars, the creation, instead of to God, the Creator, for worship and guidance. We are to put our trust in God, not in the things that He has created. When we want help or guidance, we as believers have an open line to heaven at any time. There's never going to be a time when you go and pray to God that you're going to get a busy signal. And I don't know about the astrologers and going to astronomy, but that certainly is true for God. Now, here's the question. Is there really a message from God in the stars? Aren't y'all a little bit anxious to find out if that is true or not? Because most Christians don't even ask that question because they don't even have a clue that that is a potential or a possibility. But of course, we're going to go to the Bible to find out an answer to that. You know, people don't pay too much attention to stars these days. That is, the stars in the sky. I'm not talking about the stars in Hollywood. Oh, the stars in Hollywood, they get noticed every day. And on and on. We get so much information about the Hollywood stars, but the stars that are over our head, not so much. One reason is because it's hard for us in the 21st century to see the stars, for most of us that is, that live in cities. Because you can go out on a clear night in the city and look up, and all you can see is maybe a few stars because of the light pollution. And it didn't used to be that way. I guess just a mere 100 years ago, people were still using all lamps to light their homes, especially out in the rural areas. Some of y'all may have... Pete, did you use oil lamps? Yeah, he can remember when they didn't have electricity and they had to have oil lamps. And so you wouldn't see a bright glow at night over a city when you were going to visit that city because they didn't have the light pollution. People used to sit on the front porch in the evening and they would look out. And as it got dark, they would see the first little twinkling light and then the whole panorama would open up to them. But that's not done these days. Do you know that the houses have changed? We don't even see porches on houses anymore, do we? Very, very few times. Because people don't go out on the porch and look at, just look at nature and look at the stars. So the people back then did have a better idea of what the stars were all about. But when you're in a place where you can see the stars, and we're considered country, and out where I live, 2 miles out from Greenvine, is really country. And when I go out, I can see, on a clear night, I can see the beautiful panorama of stars. So what do you see on a clear night, and you see this beautiful sight of these stars? The question is, can you read anything that is intelligible, or anything of a design? Doesn't it seem like they are just randomly scattered across the sky, like someone just took all these dots of light and just threw them out in the sky like that? Is that what it looks like to you? Come on. Okay. It's, you know what it's kind of like? When you learn about God's design and you learn about constellations, which are a group of stars that form images and so forth, and you learn some of the star names, when you look up at the sky, it's not just random, indiscriminate things anymore. It makes sense. It tells a story. It'd be the same as looking at a printed page if you didn't know how to read. What does that look like? It just looks like a bunch of letters all scrambled together that makes no sense to you. So what we're going to do as we proceed through this series is help you to read what is in the sky. Because even though you look at the sky and it says nothing to you, the Bible says that they contain a message. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. I'll put up here as well. You can kill this, George. Romans chapter 10. Very interesting chapter. Well, the whole book of Romans is phenomenal. But we're going to concentrate on Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 13. Romans 10, 13. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They're going to be delivered. Now, Paul is going to play a straw man in certain places in here. A straw man means that he is taking the place of someone who would have objections to what he's going to say. It's like building a man of straw, sitting him right here, and he's going to contest what the speaker is saying. But there's nobody there, so Paul is going to take that place, and sometimes they call that playing the straw man. So, we start having some interesting questions. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved or delivered. Verse 14. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? So he's asking the question because there he says that you can call upon the name of the Lord. And they're saying, yeah, but how can you call upon someone that you don't believe? This is coming from, let's say, an unbeliever's standpoint. And how shall they believe? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Whom they have not heard. Now you'll notice up here I have that red, in red. Because this is the focus that they're saying. What they're really trying to do is dodge accountability. They aren't interested in God. And Paul says, well, if you call upon the name, you'll be delivered. And they say, well, how can we believe on someone? I mean, how can we call on someone we haven't believed, and how shall we believe in him whom we have not heard? Their argument is that they've never heard of this God. There's no way that they ever received any information on this God. So if that's the case, they wouldn't be held accountable. And then he goes on to say, and how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, we need preachers out to give us the word. And if the preachers aren't sent, then you can't hold us accountable. I mean, because we have to hear. Verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. The glad tidings could be translated or could be spoken of as the gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news. Isn't the gospel glad tidings? And so, Paul is explaining that it is through these preachers that can bring good things. Verse 16. However, this is the same way of saying, but. Now, there is a contention to this. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings. Now, what is Paul saying in this? He's saying they didn't heed the glad tidings. Now, what does that mean? You can't heed glad tidings unless you first what? Hear about the glad tidings. So in this verse, he's saying, now wait a minute. You hear the glad tidings you have rejected. You did not all heed the glad tidings. Then he quotes from Isaiah. For Isaiah says, and this is in Isaiah chapter 53, Lord, who has believed our report? Now I have these in green because this is the rebuttal of Paul being a straw man to the idea that there's no way that you can hold us accountable because we never got the message. We didn't get the memo. So don't get on our case. So he says in Isaiah 53, chapter 53, says, the Lord, who has believed our report? So the report was given. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Now, what Paul is essentially doing here is acknowledging and agreeing with them, yes, you have to hear it before you can believe it. And that's what he's saying in this verse. Yes, I understand you have to hear something before you can believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Verse 18. Now, verse 18 is where it gets really interesting. This is what taps into our star series. Because how would you think that Paul would answer this? Would he say, okay, well, they heard because we sent out all these preachers, and that's how they should know. But look what he says. But I say, surely they have heard. Excuse me. Surely they have never heard. Have they? Now, what he's saying, he's again taking their case and saying, but surely we have never heard this. But he put it in the form of a question. Is that true? That was their contention. But I say, surely, by the way, is the straw man. You following that? Surely they have never heard, have they? And then he says, indeed they have. This is the rebuttal to their argument. They're trying to say, we never heard it. Don't blame us for anything. He says, you have heard it. But was it from preachers? Not teaching it or what? And he says, then he goes to a quote from Psalms 19:4. Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Who or what is he talking about there? The voice has gone out. The voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. There has been a message going out. Now, turn your Bibles to Psalm 19. That's where we're going next. And I have it up here as well. Isn't it interesting? When he's making the argument that they have heard, he goes to the Psalms. And when you go to that Psalm, the first thing you see is to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. That's just the title of the Psalm. Now, the psalm actually starts with, the heavens declare the glory of God. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about heavenly bodies. He's talking about, yes, they have heard. And he goes to Psalm 19. We'll get to verse 4 in a moment. But Psalm 19, the first six verses deal with the celestial sphere, heavenly bodies, stars and so forth. And then when you get to verse 7, it drastically changes, and the last seven verses have to do with the Word of God. So the first half has to do with the message that's given in the stars, and the second half has to do with the message given in the Word. So, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Verse 2. Now I have, by the way, as I go through this, you're going to notice that I have certain words that are in red. I want you to notice how many words of communication are used in these four verses that we're going to look at. I've highlighted them in red for you to see that this whole thing is talking about communication. So he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The firmament. What is the firmament? It's the expanse. It's space. Show His handiwork. What is His handiwork? Well, it's the stars. It's the planets. It's the comets. It's the pulsars. It's all these things. Day to day, utter speech. And night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. Is this a contradiction? No. What, this is so interesting. He's saying that the heavens declare the glory of God. It shows His handiwork. They utter speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. But there is no speech, no language, and their voice is not heard. Have any of you ever heard a star speak to you? If you have, please do not raise your hand. Stars don't speak audibly, do they? But they do contain a message. Now, here is the verse 4, that Paul quoted in Romans chapter 10. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He placed a tent for the sun. Now, you'll notice in verse 4 where it says the line. Some of you may have a different translation, and if you have a translation that is in the, in, let's see, what is it? The English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, the New International Version. There are several versions that do not have the word line. They have the word voice. And the line really means a communication. It is a communication verb that I'll show you in a moment. So their line has gone out to all the earth, through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. When you look at the word here, declares, declares is the Hebrew word kafar, K-A-F-A-R, and it means to declare, show forth, or write, or speak. It's a communication term. And then we have the word shows His handiwork as the Hebrew word nagad, N-A-G-A-D. And it translates as tell 222 times and declare 63 times. Then we drop down to utter speech, and utter speech, the word speech there is amar in the Hebrew, A-M-A-R, and it's translated speak 179 times. The word reveals, are y'all following this in the red letters there? The word reveal in Hebrew is kavah, C-H-A-V-A-H, and it means to declare, to show, to make known. It's another way of saying reveals knowledge. This, in other words, instead of saying reveals knowledge, you could say declares a message, couldn't you? Wouldn't that mean this? That would tell the same thing, carrying information. And then we have the the utterances down here, right here. The utterances, the term is milah, M-I-L-L-A-H. And it's translated in other translations, words or speech. So, the word line, means a voice in all these other translations. Now, let me put it this way. If a guy was in a bar and he saw a good-looking girl and he wanted to engage her in conversation, he would go up and try to impress her with how eloquent he was. He's trying to impress her and tell her things. What do we call that? He's trying to give her a what? A line. See? Oh, I know, y'all are so pure, you wouldn't know anything about that. What a pious bunch we have here. Yeah, it's a line. And even then, we even use this term in this translation of it, the same way that it was revealed here, which means it is a word of communication. So isn't it amazing that when Paul had the people that were trying to dodge accountability, he told them, go to Psalm 19 because you there was a message and you did get the memo. That's essentially what he's saying. When Paul quoted from Psalm 19:4, which was from Romans 19:18, to prove that the people who had heard the gospel message, even without a preacher, he was saying that he was teaching in Romans about the gospel which was first revealed in the stars. You got that? Okay. What glory was David talking about when he talked about the glory of the heavens are declaring the glory of God? Surely it was more than just the grandeur of the stars themselves. Now, we can look up at the stars on a clear night, especially if you're out in the country, and you're in awe of the spectacle. It's beautiful. But is that what he was talking about? He was talking about the grandeur of the stars in the first verse, but it was when he was describing God's handiwork. In other words, it is the beauty of it and the grandeur of it he referenced by saying, seeing God's handiwork. But what about the glory? David knew little about God's magnificent creative ability regarding the stars. He knew a lot of things, but he didn't know what we know today. He knew nothing about the immensity of space, nothing about light years, pulsars, or supernova. He never saw the rings around Saturn or the giant red spot on Jupiter. He never saw the smoke ring galaxy or nebulas. By the way, I have a 12-inch Dobsonian telescope. And I've seen all of those things. And I'm just very, very, very much an amateur. But when you put that telescope on Saturn and you see those rings around it, when I put my telescope on Jupiter and I see four of the 63 moons that it has, even in my telescope I can see four moons, and they're always straight across it. You know, they're never here. It's always straight because they're in orbit around Jupiter. When you see these things, you have an appreciation that David just couldn't have. You see, David didn't have a telescope. And you can't see any of those things without a telescope. So what I'm saying is the glory he referred to had to be something other than the astronomical facts and images that are known to us today. He couldn't see all that. So the glory he was talking about was not just the grandeur. He said, yeah, that's his handiwork, but there's a glory. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. But there were facts that David did know. David knew facts about the stars, even though he didn't have a telescope and he didn't know all the things that we know today. But he knew facts about the stars that most people today do not know. If you want to jot them down, you can. The first thing he knew was that God created the stars. God is the one that created the stars. They weren't just randomly thrown out there in a big explosion. Where would you go, by the way, to prove that? Do you know of a verse that you might go to prove that God made the stars? How about the first verse of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, here's a few more if you'd like to jot them down. Genesis 1:16. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. It's like an afterthought. Oh, yeah. He made the sun, he made the moon, and it's like they were that Moses was going to go to the next thing as an afterthought. Oh, yeah. God made the stars. That blows me away. The more you know about the stars, the size, the number, the immensity, all the things about it, and it says, oh yeah, and he also made the stars. That's tremendous. Psalm 89:11. The heavens are yours, and the earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. This is talking about God, not us, by the way. This is Psalm 89:11. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, and the world and all it contains, you have founded them. He also knew that it was God and not chance that put them in their specific places. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26a. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one leads, the one, that's the capital O, the one who leads forth their host by number. He leads them forth. He puts them in specific places for a reason. He also, God also gave names to every one of the stars, which are innumerable. If anybody asks me how many stars are there, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. And furthermore, nobody knows except God. God knows them. But they're innumerable. Psalm chapter 147:4. He counts the number of stars. He gives names to all of them. Now, maybe you know, maybe you don't, I don't know. But there are multi-billion times a billion stars. I don't know how many that is, but you can count them. And he gives names to all of the stars. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26b, he calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and strength of power. Not one is missing. So in the entire universe, all these billions of stars, God keeps track of them, and not one is missing. And I can't keep up with my keys. Don't laugh. How about you? He knew the names of many stars and their meaning. He knew that God gave the stars specific names and placed them in specific places. That's very important. That means they're not random. And we can tell what God's message in the stars is, not only by the configuration of constellations and what they represent, but also by the star names themselves. So how do stars communicate a message to the entire world that everyone can understand? I mean, we all speak different languages, right? And how can he do that? Well, here's the answer. Through pictures, images, signs. We're talking about a picture story that God has put up in the sky. You see, stars are aligned together in groups called constellations, which forms pictures, images, and signs. Pictures or signs speak a universal language that everyone can understand. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, I think I have that on the PowerPoint. Yeah. Then God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years." This verse reveals two purposes for the heavens. Days and years clearly indicates that it's the astronomical bodies are measuring time. And the other purpose is associated with signs and seasons. The Hebrew word for sign is oth, O-T-H. And it means signs. It conveys information. Here's the three definitions from BDAG, which is a Hebrew lexicon. First of all, A, it can be a military ensign, and especially that of each particular tribe. Two, it can refer to a sign of something past, which serves to keep something in memory, hence a memorial or a monument. And third, a sign of something future, a portent. So, signs and constellations are for our instruction, enjoyment, and blessing. That's what they're for. However, those who believe the lies of astrology are sometimes fearful of star images. We see this in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them." He's saying the signs up there are your friends. The images are giving my message. Don't be afraid of them. There are people who are in astrology that are all in a dither about the signs. If someone says that everything is lined up and you better not go outside, you're going to get hit by a bus, you better stay in. They're afraid of these signs. And this scripture, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, is saying otherwise. Signs convey information. They can give warn a person of danger and give direction and guidance. Isn't that true? What is that? When you see that... Oh, you don't see it. Sorry, I saw it. There you go. When you see that, what do you think? Danger, right? Or poison or death? Touching this... This is what I'm doing, is making my point. The last point I made on that Hebrew word for sign. A sign is something, a future portent, and it can also be something that speaks of something else. In other words, touching this image will not harm you, but drinking something with this image on the label could kill you. Isn't that right? Signs can communicate without using words. Doesn't that one? And what is it? It's just an image. But it communicates to you something that you better know. If you ignore this sign, then it could cost you your life. Okay, these signs contain no letters or words. Can you read them? Okay, let's see. This one. Left turn. Yep, it doesn't have any letters. There's no words. How about this one? Two-way traffic. How about this one? It's a dead end, isn't it? How about these? What's this one? Children crossing? Yeah. Deer crossing? Somebody said that last one means get your rifle. What does this one mean? This one? A light ahead, right? What about this one? Wait, stop! It has no sign on it. There's no writing on it. You can know what that means? You better know. You see how foggy it was today? What if you're coming up on an intersection and one of these is there and you can't make out the words, but you can make out that image, the figure, you know to stop, don't you? You see what I'm getting at? These images up in the stars do the same thing for us. They convey a message as well. I just threw that one in for fun. This is a dog jumping up. You see he's trying to obey the sign. I'm sorry, I just have to get a little levity in here sometimes. So y'all are all on board with the idea that there can be shapes, there can be figures, there can be images that convey a message not using words. Right? Okay, and that's what I'm saying. These stars convey, they are gathered, they're grouped together in groups that form images. And those images convey a message. And the message is from God. There's so much more. I wish I could just feed you with a fire hose right now, but I just can't do it. We have to take it a step at a time. There's something I need to bring out that's really important, though. The Scriptures contain the accurate and complete and final revelation of God to man. I'm not trying to intrude on that whatsoever. God's Word is full, accurate. God's message in the stars does not add to the Scriptures, nor does it contradict them. Indeed, it verifies it. You got that? So I don't want you to think there's anything about astrology and weirdo stuff. We're talking about things that verify the Bible. It's encouraging and exciting to realize that the same Bible message in the Bible is also found in the names of the stars and the images they form. Isn't that exciting to you? And it's a new picture every night. Those who lived during the approximately 2,000 years of human history before writing became widely used were not deprived of a way to learn about God's wonderful plan and His promises. Think about that. I don't know exactly how long, but maybe about 2,000 years before there was even any writing, did these people, they didn't have the scriptures, there were no scriptures. Were they just out of luck? Was there no way that they could have received a message from God? That's what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 10. Did they hear? Yes, they heard. Every evening about dusk, the first star that appeared announced the beginning of the spectacular nightly production by the Creator shown on the stage of our immense universe, and that takes place every night. If you know God's message in the stars, and you're not looking at a bunch of random dots up there, but you've learned how to read the images, then when you sit on your porch, well, you don't have a porch. You go out where you can see, and you see the first little twinkling light. That's the curtains going up. And every single night, God's message, His eternal message, is there for everyone to see. And as the stars go across the sky, actually the earth is revolving, but it looks like they go from the east over to the west each night. You're getting another picture, another part of the three-act play in the stars. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you now, but it will. Psalm chapter 89, verse 37, Psalms 89, 37 says, "It," meaning God's covenant, "shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful." The witness in the sky is faithful. One could say that the constellations that are formed by the stars show a picture story of the gospel that everyone can understand. You might even call it sign language, because that's what it is. Now, I have just a little bit more time. I want to focus a moment on the names of the stars, because it's not only their configuration and the image that conveys a message. The star names do as well. Who named the stars? God named the stars. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who bring out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of His might and strength of His power, not one is missing." You see, God allowed Adam to name the animals. That's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. But He left the more important job of naming the stars to Himself because they had great prophetic significance. And I have to close on this point, and I'm going to get a hook for you to come again next Sunday. I'm not going to give you any star names today. You have to come back next Sunday or tune in next Sunday to get the star names. But I can assure you, just hearing the star names, realizing what the names of the stars are, will blow your doors off. Now, I know that's an expression from the 60s. And some people are old, well, quite a few people are here old enough to remember the 60s. In the 60s, they had the muscle cars, and everybody, it was all about speed and racing and dragging and all this. And the expression was, if something was really tremendous, they would say it would blow your doors off, because they would say, you old clunker, you think that's fast? Well, I'll go by you so fast it'll blow your doors off. Well, I took all that time and it just kind of... Let's see, note. Don't use the doors blowed off expression any longer. But here's the thing. The names of the stars haven't changed over time, nor has the location and configuration from our vantage point. Now, that might be hard to believe, but it's very important. I'll just quickly tell you this. If God did put images in the sky with these star configurations in certain places, which He did, they have to stay there. I mean, over 2,000, 4,000, over 6,000 years, if they change locations, then the image wouldn't be the same. And these stars, by the way, are traveling at hundreds, some of them hundreds of miles per second in all different directions. Did you know that? They're not, to us, they're just the same. And even when Adam saw the stars, he saw the same configurations that we see, essentially. Because it would take, even though they're moving at tremendous speed, they're so far away that it would take 50,000 years from our vantage point for them to move a quarter of an inch. See what I'm saying? So if, for all intents and purposes, the stars never change their configuration. That was necessary, or else we would be out of luck at this point. I mean, yeah, people back then in David's day, they could see it, but now they're all moved and there's something else now. No, they're always at the same point. Not the planets. In fact, the earlier, when even back in David's time, they noticed that there's a background of these stars that never changed. But I don't think they knew there were planets. But the planets are in our solar system, and they do move across the sky. I mean, if you see, let's say, Jupiter over here tonight, next week it's not going to be there. It's going to be over here because it's in our solar system. I don't know if you're following that. But anyway, they stay the same. And also, this is very important also, the star names haven't changed. I mean, God is omnipotent. If He named the stars, and this is given His message, don't you think that He can maintain the star names? That He can preserve those names? And I'm going to show it to you next time. I'll give you a little teaser. The book of Job has star names and constellations. And it's the oldest book in the Bible. Many believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And it has this, and you look at the names that's given there, and you look on modern star charts today, and you talk to astronomers, they use the same name. Interesting, huh? Well, we're completely out of time, and so I'm going to end this message by asking everyone to please bow your heads. This portion of this service is for those who really aren't too sure that there is even a God or what's going to happen after they die. We were talking about good tidings a while ago. The great news is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He went to the cross and died. He was buried. And He rose again. And now He offers eternal life to anyone who will trust Him and Him alone for it. It's not by works that we have done. It's by that one work of Jesus Christ on the cross whereby we are all saved. And they call that grace. And in this moment of time, you can decide to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and not your works. And in that moment, you're born again, you become a child of God, and your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. Now, Father, we're so thankful for this time that we can come and just be in awe of the grandeur and the glory of the heavenly bodies that You present to us every night. But more importantly, the message that they convey. We pray that You will help us to absorb this information and to go shout it from the housetops, the mighty God that we have. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.